Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat. My name's Phil Holdsworth, founder of Aurum Gold, and my guest today is my good friend, Russ Hurst from Assured Financial Planning. Russ is a lifestyle financial planner. Russ, it's so good to have you on Wisdom Chat today.
Thanks, Phil. Good morning, everybody, and appreciate the invite.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I'm looking forward to the conversation because obviously we've just been having a bit of a chat. Mm. I know you're wanting to sort of talk about the approach that you have with your clients with regards to what do they want? What are they thinking in life? What are their goals? What do they want to achieve? But you've been reading an interesting book, haven't you?
I've been reading a very interesting book, Phil. 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman. So what he's saying is when we're born, we've all got 4,000 weeks if we get to age 80. Obviously, if you're older, you've got a few more. If you don't make it to 80, you'll have a few less. But what is interesting, it makes you realize with your own age, oh, hang on, I haven't got 4,000 left. I maybe have 1,000 or 1,200. And that's really interesting because time is what we can't expand. We have what we have. So yeah. We need to make the most of it, which when I see people, it doesn't seem always to be the case.
Yeah. Do you know, when you were saying that, I was likening to the conversations I have with people about the use of cash, even though as a society, we don't use cash as much these days. It's all contactless and so on. But what you notice is you don't see in contactless the diminishing value. So like time diminishing left, you don't see the diminishing value in your cash in your hand. Mm. Yet when you do see it, it makes you ask certain questions. And also it alters perhaps the choices that you make in life. Is that what you see when you're talking with your clients with regards to what time they've got left?
I think the thing I see, Phil, when I approach it in the manner which I do is clients are often very uncertain about what they've got and what it means. What does this pot of money mean? What's it going to do for me? Because very often the focus for advice is on the product and not the client, and the client is everything. You need to understand the client first. So, they've got worries and concerns, and my goal is to remove those worries and concerns if I can by giving them a clearer picture of how the future looks in terms of money. You know, do what you want to do without fear of running out, if that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I suppose, we're introduced far more to that concept of the fear of running out and or the mindsets that people have, especially today, because of the way that the economy is at the moment, the rising cost of livings and the pressures brought to bear on people. But and oftentimes the clients I talk to, when I say to them, you need to talk to a financial planner. Oh, isn't that for the rich people? And so that becomes then for them a bit of a barrier. So there's a bit of work to assure them, no, this is a good idea and actually doesn't cost you a fortune or anything like that. And it will be good for you in terms of planning for the future, in terms of what you want to achieve. And oftentimes I talk to people in the finance industry, they talk about products, but you're right. This thing about what about you? You're the biggest influencer. What are your values? What do you want to achieve? And so on. And I think what you're saying there is you're wanting to find out what's in their mindsets.
Absolutely. And, you know, my profession or industry or whatever you want to call it is utterly geared up to sell products. Mm-hmm. The insurance companies are always bringing out new products and, you know, they're peddling these to us. They kind of forget that all the client is interested in when you go through the process that I do with them is, am I going to be all right, Russ? Can I do what I want to do? They're not interested in the technical stuff. Some of them want a bit, but that's for us to understand. and to just reassure them. And it's interesting what you talk when you mentioned wealthy people and less wealthy people. And I will very often say to somebody, I know you don't think you've got much money, but if you've got enough money to do what you want to do for the rest of your life, in my eyes, you're a wealthy person because you've got enough. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, whether it's 100,000, a million or 10 million, it doesn't matter. If you can do what you want to do, you have enough and you are therefore a wealthy person to me.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So if you're talking to a client and you realize that what they're wanting to achieve isn't quite there, they don't have quite enough, how do you sort of approach that with them to help them see that and then start to explore what they can do to prepare themselves, whether they need to adjust their goals, their aspirations, or whether there are actions that they can take to increase the money that they have. How do you approach that?
Well, I will often say to them, look, I'm going to tell you the truth about money during this process. And I won't hold back. I won't be, brutal, but I won't hold back. I'll be honest with you. And what I mean by the truth of money is exactly what you've just asked. Yeah. So if this client doesn't have enough, I'll tell them. If they might have enough subject to, you know, inflation coming back down, a little bit of return or whatever, I'll tell them. If they've got way too much, I'll tell them. It's absolutely pointless pretending or thinking they might be okay. You need to be more specific than that, because people make huge decisions based on the kind of advice that I give. They might stop work based on what I tell them. So I need to be absolutely certain that what I'm telling them is straight down the middle and truthful. So you just have conversations. Look, you don't have enough, I don't think, yet. You're going to have to go to 64 or 65, but let's review it next year and see how things have panned out, because it might change, you know? So just being, you know, as a Yorkshireman, just being straight and honest with them, Phil.
And you're definitely a Yorkshireman, Russ.
Absolutely.
It's I do like the whole thing about the honesty, because I think one of the things that causes so much stress and anxiety for people is the ambiguity that exists and the uncertainty. And when there's uncertainty, it's like a realm that you don't know what's going to happen, and therefore you don't feel any sense of control, or maybe even know what to do about it. And so to have somebody actually sit down and say, this is exactly where it's at now, and even, dare I say, plan something, you know, in terms of what they do next, what's the next move or what have you.
Exactly.
Actually gives them some reassurance and some peace of mind, and reduces their stress and anxiety around money.
Yeah, exactly that, Phil. And too often a client will say to me, Russ, I've got this letter. What does it mean? And that's been issued by, you know, one of the insurance companies. And they have to do it in a certain way. But a lot of the time, it's just gobbledygook to the client. Let's talk in simple English. You know, they're not interested in the annual management charge for this fund or that fund or whatever. They just want to know if they've got enough. And yet we just wrap it all up. And, you know, many advisors will add to that, in my view, by the way they speak. I just try and strip it right down to straightforward layman speak.
Yeah.
Because that's what I prefer as well.
Yeah. It's interesting. Just on that speak, I received a communication from a friend recently who I often go out for a drink with. And his communication sounded like, I'm not going to be able to go out for a drink much with you now. And by the way, we're moving out of the area. So I wish you all the best. And I'm thinking, well, it's almost like saying to somebody, you know, that's it, goodbye, all the best for the future. So I thought about it and responded accordingly and wished him all the best. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call saying, no, I didn't mean that. I wasn't going to see you again. And I said, do you know what? It's interesting, isn't it? When you don't think about the words you use, what is the impression that the other person has actually picked up? And I think it was interesting with, I worked in investment management, and sometimes I would listen to the investment managers as they were talking to their clients, or that they, when they were talking to one another, when they were discussing their client portfolios, how they would lose sight of the human element behind the figures. And talk as though they're just talking about numbers like a Monopoly game, but missing the person at the other end. And I think what you're saying is you want to bring the person right back to the center.
That's absolutely where that person has to be from day one of the first meeting. They'll bring out the carrier bag full of policy documents and bits of paper. And I'll say, look, do you mind? Can you just pop that over there?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, because I don't know what's in there and I don't know you. Until I know you, I don't know how that lot fits in with what you want to do. So can I just talk to you about you first?
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're happy to carry on, then we'll see what you've got. But let's just chat about you and where you want to go and what you want to do and so on. And just picking up on the point there about the way people speak and sometimes it's misinterpreted. Years ago, I worked for NatWest and we went on a management course. And one of the phrases that I always remember from this little book that we were given is, I never know what I've said until I hear the answer. Because that beautifully sums up how the other person has or hasn't understood what you meant to say. And too often, texts, emails, they just get misinterpreted. And then you've got, you know, backtracking all the time.
Well, it's interesting. In communication, they say that 94% of the communication is not words. So it's our tone and body language, facial expressions. Mm. And when we don't have those aspects, when we haven't spent time, say, getting to know the person and seeing their responses and hearing their responses rather than just the words spoken, it is very hard to really get a picture of an individual or really understand that individual. And when people don't do that, then the advice they give could not necessarily be the best that they need at that time.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that, Phil, at all, because very often the first thing an advisor will do with a new client is say, what have you got? And then look at the policies. I approach it from the other end. I want to know what your lifestyle looks like. And what amount of expenditure you've got. So we, you know, my clients are asked to do quite a bit of work for me. I give them a two-sided expense sheet with, you know, quite small lines. And just fill this out for me. This is now and this is in retirement. And this is what happens if one of you dies, because unfortunately, not everybody makes it into retirement. Mm. That then forms one side of a cash flow forecast, because that's how much money they need each year. Forget what they've got coming in. How much do you need? Only then can you overlay the other stuff and say, you're a bit short. You need to put more money away. You need to work longer. You've got enough while you're working. All those kind of things. But, for me, that's the only way you can properly do it.
Yeah. I think it's a really valuable point that you're making about the person and the person being at the center. When we're talking about money, one of the things I find in the finance industry, when they say financial well-being, we tend to use that term quite glibly and yet not really understand what it actually means. So when you ask different organizations, what do you mean by that? They will invariably talk about what I call external matters. So like you're saying, it's looking at the products and all the external things, but missing the most influential and important part of it all. And that's you and me as the human element in it. That's what one of the things I personally, like yourself, want to raise is reintroducing the human element back to whatever we service we provide and advice that we give to an individual, is that they are the important key right in the middle of it all. So as we've been saying, it's about bringing the human element right back to the center of anything to do with the finances, rather than just leaving it around the financial side, what I call the externals of our financial well-being. And I think it's brilliant what you do, Russ. And I know when we were talking about the book, 4,000 Weeks, There's a point you wanted to raise. Just go over that now, if you may.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. It was just simply this. Most people in their lifetime have been away on holiday for a couple of weeks, and you get there, and midway through the first week, you feel like you've been there forever. And then in the middle weekend, if it's a 2 week, 3 weekend job, you'll think, blimey, we've been here a week. It really feels like we've been here for absolutely ages. We've got another week, and then, oh, hang on, we're going home today. That's exactly what life is like. So you go through life, and the closer you get to the other end, whenever that is, the quicker it goes. It's absolutely vital, in my eyes, that you make the most of the time that you've got left, which ties in nicely with the book as well, by understanding how much money you need to do everything you want to do for the rest of your life. What is your number, as I would call it? What's that pot need to look like? And if people want to speak to me, I'll gladly listen to them without any obligation. And then, you know, if they want to take it further, it's entirely up to them. But we're no more expensive than the other IFAs doing the work that they do. We just integrate this in because I think it's really important.
Yeah, thank you for that, Russ. And people contacting you then, for our listeners, how would they get hold of you?
Well, they can either give us a call on the office number, which is 01423 581133, or they can just drop me an email, which is russ@assuredfinancialplanning.co.uk. And, you know, I'll just chat to them and see if they want to go any further.
Well, that's brilliant, Russ. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And I know that our listeners will appreciate it. We're covering an aspect there that perhaps doesn't get talked about enough, really.
Okay.
And so thank you very much for your time.
No, thanks for inviting me on, Phil. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So, and all the best to you for the future ones.
Thank you very much, Russ. Take
Cheers
care.
Now. Bye-bye.